Introduce Mr. Oppen. I would like to start the Poetry Center hat around the room. As you can tell from the newly printed brochure, all donations are appreciated. We're still, the Poetry Center has been, as you know, in the past, largely, though not exclusively, funded by Associated Students, and their monies are still tied up, so we have been recently deprived of a major source of income. Let me remind you, too, that immediately following the reading, you're all invited to come up to Ecumenical House across the street from the campus on 19th Avenue and have some coffee and cookies. It's a great privilege for me. I wonder if we should close that door. Great, thank you. It's a great privilege for me to present George Oppen for a third time to a Poetry Center audience, for he is certainly one of America's most distinguished writers. His most recent book, of being numerous, which won the Pulitzer Prize for Poetry last year, was his fourth book. His first book, which included a short introduction by Ezra Pound, was called Discrete Series. That was published in 1934. Then there were many years in which no poems were written. And his next book, second book, appeared in 1962, called The Materials. The third book, This in Which, appeared in 1965. Mr. Oppen's achievement, as I see it, has been, while remaining true to an insistence on form, which is an aspect, I think, of his imagist background, to deepen and to enlarge the area of his concern. And his concern, it seems to me, is frankly metaphysical. And his main effort as a poet, I think, has been to sharpen and to refine his perceptions, that is, to offer statements to which he can honestly, authentically subscribe. He reduces language to quintessential statements which, for all their abstemiousness, are profoundly affirmative. He insists. He insists upon seeing what one cannot not see, but he does not remain there at that point. By precept and example, he insists with Wallace Stevens that after the final no, there comes a yes, and on that yes, the future world depends. With a He insists with Wallace Stevens that after the final no, there comes a yes, and on that yes, the future world depends, with a certain elevation and the requisite elegance. He sees in the manner of poetry, as he says in a poem in his last book, imagine a man in the ditch, the wheels of the overturned wreck still spinning. I don't mean he despairs. I mean, if he does not, he sees in the manner of poetry. Mr. Oppen sees genuinely in the manner of poetry. It's a great pleasure to give you, Mr. Oppen.
There's another. You better take them out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read two or three new poems. I haven't exactly planned the program. I get to watch the clock, but I'll read two or three new programs and from the last book. These are the last two poems from a new group of poems. The first, The Transparent Mechanics. Now, now, the sense of now, which is courage, obsessed. The children cannot bear the world. I must get out of here. Father, he thinks, father. Disgrace of dying. A thing, a falling rock, he thinks, father. The children cannot bear the world. They walk, enduring streets, and carry the glitter of change. Argue the translucence of the world in tremendous undertaking, in tremendous act, holes, pitfalls open in the cop's accoutrement, crevasse, perpetual tragic wreckage in dirty water. Summer of the sailboat, rounding that coast of heavy mountains. Inflated landscape in the white surf, but Mary among the liquid waves talks of the theologians. So brave, she says, in the wilderness. And later at anchor in the minutely busy harbor, off the town pier and the old houses. Windy heaven of the poets, where nostalgia and the new rise shining over the rope's end. The night is still, or drifts faintly. Glass world, glass heaven, public, most public, meaning heaven. The heartbeat stumbles in the transparent wavetops of daylight on its path over England, over open ocean, over Nova Scotia, breakwaters, hen coops, restaurants. I'll adjust this as you see I have. So. This is very good. It's nice that none of these new people heard me mess up that poem. This is the last poem of that group, But So Is By Fire. That title's from a sentence in the Epistle to the Corinthians. If any man's work burn, he shall suffer loss, yet he himself shall be saved, but so as by fire. But so as by fire. The darkness of trees guards this life of the thin ground that covers the rock ledge among the lanes and magic of the coastal woods. The beauty of silence and broken boughs and the homes of small animals. The green leaves of young plants above the dark green moss and the sweet smell of rot, the pools and the trickle of fresh water. First life, rotting life, hidden starry life, it is not yet a mirror like our lives. We have gone as far as is possible, whose lives reflect light like mirrors. One had not thought to be afraid, not of shadow, but of light, summon one's powers. And this is the poem Root. Tell the beads of the chromosomes like a rosary, love in the genes if it fails, we will produce no sane man again. I have seen too many young people become adults, young friends become old people, all that is not ours, the sources and the crude bone, we say, took place, like the mass of the hills. The sun is a molten mass, therefore, fall into oneself. Reality, blind eye, which has taught us to stare. Your elbow on a car edge, incognito as summer, I wrote. Not you, but a girl, at least. Clarity, clarity, surely clarity is the most beautiful thing in the world. A limited, limiting clarity. I have not, and never did have, any motive of poetry but to achieve clarity. Troubled that you are not, as they say, working. I think we try rather to understand. We try also to remain together. There is a force of clarity, it is, of what is not autonomous in us. We suffer a certain fear. Things alter, surrounded by a depth and width. The unreality of our house in moonlight is that if the moonlight strikes it, it is truly there, though it is ours. Not to reduce the thing to nothing, I might at the top of my ability stand at a window and say, look out, out there is the world. Not the desire for approval nor even for love, oh, that trap from which escaped, barely, if it fails, we will produce no sane man again. Words cannot be wholly transparent, and that is the heartlessness of words. Neither friends nor lovers are coeval. As for a long time we have abandoned those in extremity, and we find it unbearable that we should do so. The sea anemone dreamed of something, filtering the seawater through its body. Nothing more real than boredom. Dreamlessness, the experience of time, never felt by the new arrival, never at the doors, the thresholds, it is the native time, the purity of the materials, not theology, but to present the circumstances. In Alsace, during the war, we found ourselves on the edge of the Battle of the Bulge. The front was inactive, but we were spread so thin that the situation was eerily precarious. We hardly knew where the next squad was, and it was not in sight, a quiet and deserted hill in front of us. We dug in near a farmhouse. Pierre, though he was a journeyman mason, lived with his wife and his children in that farmhouse. During the occupations, Germans had declared Alsace a part of Greater Germany. Therefore, they had drafted Alsatian men into the German army. Many men, learning in their own way that they were to be called, dug a hole. The word became a part of the language, fair and true. Some men were in those holes as long as 2 and 3 years. It was necessary that someone should know where those holes were. In winter, it was impossible for a man to come out of his hole without leaving footprints in the snow. While the snow was actually falling, however, a friend could come to the hole with food and other help. Pierre, whom many people trusted, knew where some 2 dozen of those holes were. The Germans became aware that men were going into hiding, and they began to make reprisals. If the man was young and unmarried, they killed his parents. If the man was married, they took his wife into Germany, to the army brothels, it was said. They took the children into Germany, and it was not certain whether those children would remember where they came from. Pierre told me this story. Men would come to Pierre, and they would say, I am thinking of making a hole. Pierre would say, yes. They would say then, but if I do, they will kill my parents, or they will take my wife and my children. Then Pierre would say, he told me, if you dig a hole, I will help you. He knew, of course, what he was telling me. You must try to put yourself into those times. If one thought he knew anything, it was that a man should not join the Nazi army. Pierre himself learned shortly before the Americans arrived that he was about to be drafted. He and his wife discussed the children. They thought of tattooing the children's names and addresses on their chests so that perhaps they could be found after the war. But they thought that perhaps the tattooing would be cut out of the children. They did not finally have to make that decision, as it turned out. But what a conversation between a man and his wife. There was an escape from that dilemma, as in a way there always is. Pierre told me of a man who, receiving the notification that he was to report to the German army, called a celebration and farewell at his home. Nothing was said at that party that was not jovial. They drank and sang. At the proper time, the host got his bicycle and waved goodbye. The house stood at the top of the hill and, waving and calling farewells, he rode with great energy and as fast as he could down the hill, and at the bottom drove into a tree. It must be hard to do, probably easier in an automobile. There is, in an automobile, a considerable time during which you cannot change your mind. Riding a bicycle, since in those woods it is impossible that the tree should be a redwood, it must be necessary to continue aiming at the tree right up to the moment of impact. Undoubtedly difficult to do. And, of course, the children had no father. Thereafter, wars that are just, a simpler question in the event, will you or will you not want to kill a German? Because in the event, if you do not want to, you won't. And my wife reading letters she knew were 2 weeks old and did not prove I was dead while she read. Why did I play all that? What was I doing there? We are brothers, we are brothers. These things are composed of a moral substance only if they are untrue. If these things are true, they are perfectly simple, perfectly impenetrable, those primary elements which can only be named. A man will give his life for his friend, provided he wants to. In all probability, a man will give his life for his child, provided his child is an infant. One man could not understand me because I was saying simple things. It seemed to him that nothing was being said. I was saying, there is a mountain, there is a lake, a picture seen from within. The picture is unstable, a moving picture, unlimited drift. Still, the picture exists, the circumstances. And if at 80, he says what has been commonly said, it is for the sake of old times, a cozy game, he wishes to join again, an unreasonable speech out of context. Cars on the highway filled with speech. People talk, they talk to each other. Imagine a man in the ditch, the wheels of the overturned wreck still spinning. I don't mean he despairs, I mean if he does not, he thinks in the manner of poetry. The cars run in a void of utensils, the powerful tires beyond happiness, tough, rubbery gear of invaders, of the descendants of invaders. I begin to be aware of a countryside and the exposed weeds of a ditch. The context is history, moving toward the light of the conscious. And beyond, culvert, blind curb, there are also names for these things, language in the appalling field. I remember my father as a younger man than I am now. My mother was a tragic girl. Long ago, the autonomous figures are gone. The context is the thousands of days. Not the symbol, but the scene. This pavement leads to roadsides. The finite, losing its purposes, is estranged. All this is reportage. If having come so far we shall have song, let it be small enough. Virgin, what was there to be thought, comes by the road. Tell the life of the mind creates the finite, all punishes him. I stumble over these stories, progeny, the possibility of progeny, continuity, or love that tempted him. He is punished by place, by scene, by all that holds all he has found, the pavement, the silent symbols of it, the word it, never more powerful than in this sentence. Well, hardly an epiphany, but there the thing is, all the same. All this is reportage. To insist that what is true is good, no matter a definition, that tree whose fruit, the weight of air, measured by the barometer in the parlor, time remains what it was, oddly, oddly insistent, haunting the people in the automobiles, shining on the sheet metal, open and present, unmarred by indifference, wheel traffic indifference, wheeled unmarred by indifference, wheel traffic indifference, the hard edge of concrete continually crumbling into gravel and the gravel of the shoulders, ditches of our own country. Whom shall I speak to? Department of Plants and Structures, obsolete, the old name in this city of the public works. Though we meant to entangle ourselves in the roots of the world, an unexpected and forgotten spore, all but indestructible shards, to owe nothing to fortune, to chance, nor by the power of his heart or her heart to have made these things sing, but the benevolence of the real. Though there is no longer shelter in the earth, round helpless belly, or hope among the pipes and broken works, substance itself, which is the subject of all our planning, and by this we are carried into the incalculable. There was no other guarantee. Ours aren't the only madmen, though they have burned thousands of men and women alive, perhaps no madder than most. Strange to be here, strange for them also, insane and criminal, who hasn't noticed that? Strange to be man, we have come rather far. We are at the beginning of a radical depopulation of the earth. Cataclysm, cataclysm of the plains, jungles, the cities, something in the soil exposed between two oceans, as Cabeza de Vaca found a continent of spiritual despair in campsites, his miracles among the Indians heralding cataclysm. Even Cortez greeted his revelation, no, I'd not emigrate, I'd not live in a ship's bar wherever we may be headed. These things at the limits of reason, nothing at the limits of dream. The dream merely ends. By this we know it is the real that we confront. That's that. I'll have to read you parts of Being Numerous. I'll just gauge the time and indicate where I skipped, if I can. I can probably read the number of what I'm reading. There'll be a little difference in the coherence of it. This is the poem of Being Numerous. There are things we live among, and to see them is to know ourselves, a currents, a part of an infinite series, the sad marvels. Of this was told a tale of our wickedness. It is not our wickedness. You remember that old town we went to and we sat in the ruined window and we tried to imagine we were born to those times. It is dead and it is not dead. And you cannot imagine its life or its death. The earth speaks and the salamander speaks. The spring comes and only obscures it. so spoke of the existence of things, an unmanageable pantheon, absolute, but they say, arid, city of the corporations, glassed in dreams and images, and the pure joy of the mineral fact, though it is impenetrable, as the world, if it is matter, is impenetrable. This is the fifth, the great stone above the river, in the pylon of the bridge, 1875, frozen in the moonlight and the frozen air over the footpath, consciousness, which has nothing to gain, which awaits nothing, which loves itself. We are pressed on each other. We will be told at once of anything that happens. And the discovery of fact bursts in a paroxysm of emotion, now as always. Crusoe, we say, was rescued, so we have chosen. Obsessed, bewildered by the shipwreck of the singular, we have chosen the meaning of being numerous. Amor fati, the love of fate, for which the city alone is audience, perhaps blasphemous. Slowly over islands, destinies, moving steadily pass and change in the thin sky over islands among days, having only the force of days, most simple, most difficult. Whether, as the intensity of seeing increases, one's distance from them, the people, does not also increase. I know, of course I know, I can enter no other place. Yet I am one of those who, from nothing but man's way of thought and one of his dialects and what has happened to me, have made poetry. To dream of that beach for the sake of an instant in the eyes, the absolute singular, the unearthly bonds of the singular, which is the bright light of shipwreck. Or in that light, new arts, dithyrambic, audiences, artists, but I will listen to a man, I will listen to a man, and when I will speak, though he will fail, and I will fail, but I will listen to him speak. The shuffling of a crowd is nothing, well, nothing but the many that we are, but nothing. Urban art, art of the cities, art of the young in the cities. The isolated man is dead, his world around him abandoned. And he fails that meditative man. And indeed they cannot bear it. It is that light seeps anywhere, a light for the times, in which the buildings stand on low ground, their pediments just above the harbor, absolutely immobile, hollow, available. You could enter any building. You could look from any window. One might wave to himself from the top of the Empire State Building. Speak, if you can. Speak. Phyllis, not neoclassic. The girl's name is Phyllis. Coming home from her first job on the bus in the bare civic interior, among those people, small doors opening on the night at the curb, her heart, she told me, suddenly tight with happiness. So small a picture, a spot of light on the curb, it cannot demean us. I too am in love down there with the streets and the square slabs of pavement, to talk of the house and the neighborhood and the docks, and it is not art. This is the 13th. Unable to begin at the beginning, the fortunate find everything already here. They are shoppers, choosers, judges, and here the brutal is without issue, a dead end. They develop argument in order to speak. They become unreal, unreal. Life loses solidity, loses extent. Baseball's their game, because baseball is not a game, but an argument and difference of opinion makes the horse races. They are ghost and in danger. One soul, there is change in an air that smells stale. They will come to the end of an era, first of all peoples, and one may honorably keep his distance if he can. I cannot even now altogether disengage myself from those men with whom I stood in emplacements and mess tents and hospitals and sheds and hid in the gullies of blasted roads in a ruined country, among the many men more capable than I. Mike and a sergeant named Healy, that lieutenant also. How forget that? How talk distantly of the people who are that force within the walls of cities wherein their cars echo like history down walled avenues in which one cannot speak? Chorus, androgynous, find me, so that I will exist, find my navel, so that it will exist, find my nipples, so that they will exist, find every hair of my belly, I am good or I am bad, find me. He will not speak, he will not work, shall not speak. I'll start the poem. He will not work, shall not eat, and only he who is troubled shall find rest. And only he who descends into another world shall rescue his beloved. And only he who unsheathes his knife shall be given Isaac again. He who will not work shall not eat, but he who will work shall give birth to his own father. The roots of words dim in the subways. There is madness in the number of the living, a state of matter. There is nobody here but us chickens. Anti-ontology. He wants to say his life is real. No one can say why. It is not easy to speak. A ferocious mumbling in public of rootless speech. It is the air of atrocity. An event as ordinary as a president. A plume of smoke visible at a distance in which people burn. Now in the helicopters, the casual will is atrocious. Insanity in high places. If it is true we must do these things, we must cut our throats. The fly in the bottle, insane, the insane fly, which over the city is the bright light of shipwreck. They await. War in the news is war, as always. That the juices may flow in them, and the juices lie. Great things have happened on the earth and given it history, armies and the ragged hordes moving and the passions of that death. But who escapes death among these riders of the subway? They know by now, as I know, failure and the guilt of failure, as in Hardy's poem of Christmas. We might half hope to find the animals in the sheds of a nation, kneeling at midnight, farm animals, draft animals, beasts for slaughter, because it would mean they have forgiven us, or, which is the same thing, that we do not altogether matter. They can be a brick. In a brick wall, the eye picks, so quiet of a Sunday. Here is the brick. It was waiting. Here when you were born, Mary Ann. Clarity in the sense of transparence. I don't mean that much can be explained. Clarity in the sense of silence. Strange that the youngest people I know live in the oldest buildings. Scattered about the city in the dark rooms of the past and the immigrants, the black rectangular buildings of the immigrants. They are the children of the middle class, the pure products of America, investing the ancient buildings, jostle each other in the half-forgotten, that ponderous business, this Chinese wall. They carry nativeness, to a conclusion in suicide. We want to defend limitation and do not know how. Stupid to say merely that poets should not lead their lives among poets. They have lost the metaphysical sense of the future. They feel themselves the end of a chain of lives, single lives, and we know that lives are single and cannot defend the metaphysic on which rest the boundaries of our distances. We want to say common sense, and cannot we stand on that denial of death that paved the cities generation for generation, and the pavement is filthy as the corridors of the police. How shall one know a new generation? Not by the dew on them, where the earth is most torn and the wounds untended and the voices confused. There is the head of the moving column, who, if they cannot find their generation, wither in the infirmaries and the supply depots supplying irrelevant objects. Street lamps shine on the parked cars steadily in the clear night. It is true the great mineral silence vibrates, hums the process completing itself in which the windshield wipers of the cars are visible. The power of the mind, the power and weight of the mind, which is not enough, it is nothing and does nothing against the natural world. Behemoth, white whale, beast, they will say, and less than beast, the fatal rock, which is the world. Oh, if the streets seem bright enough, fold within fold of residence, or see through water, clearly the pebbles of the beach through the water flowing from the ripple, clear as ever they have been. It is difficult now to speak of poetry, about those who have recognized the range of choice or those who have lived the life they were born to. It is not precisely a question of profundity, but of a different order of experience. One would have to tell what happens in a life, what choices present themselves, what the world is for us, what happens in time, what thought is in the course of a life, and therefore what art is, and the isolation of the actual. I would want to talk of rooms and of what they look out on, and of basements, the rough walls bearing the marks of the forms, the old marks of wood in the concrete, such solitude as we know, and the swept floors. Someone, a workman, bearing about him, feeling about him, that peculiar word like a dishonored fatherhood, has swept this solitary floor, this profoundly hidden floor, such solitude as we know. One must not come to feel that he has 1,000 threads in his hands. He must somehow see the one thing. This is the level of art. There are other levels, but there is no other level of art. The light of the closed pages, tightly closed, packed against each other, exposes the new day, a narrow, frightening light before a sunrise. My daughter, what can I say of living? I cannot judge it. We seem caught in reality together, my lovely daughter. I have a daughter, but no child, and it was not precisely happiness we promised ourselves. We say happiness, happiness, and are not satisfied. Though the house on the lowland of the city catches the dawn light, I can tell myself, and I tell myself only what we all believe true. And in the sudden vacuum of time, is it not? In fear the roots grip downward and beget the baffling hierarchies of father and child as of leaves on their high, thin leaves to shield us from time, from open time. Behind their house, behind the back porch are the little woods. She walks into them sometimes and awaits the birds and the deer. Looking up, she sees the blue, bright sky above the branches. If one had been born here, how could one believe it? Only that it should be beautiful. Only that it should be beautiful, oh, beautiful. Red, green, blue, the red lips laughing, or the curl of the white shell. And the beauty of the women, the perfect tendons under the skin, the perfect life that could twist in a flood of desire, not truth but each other, the bright, bright skin, her hands wavering in her incredible need. Which is ours, which is ourselves, this is our jubilation, exalted and as old as that truthfulness which illumines speech. Like the wind and the trees and the bells of the procession. How light the air is and the earth, the children and the grass and the wind and the voices of men and women to be carried about the sun forever, among the beautiful particulars of the breezes, the papers blown about the sidewalks. A female will to hide the most evident God under a covert. Surely infiniteness is the most evident thing in the world. Is it the courage of women to assume every burden of blindness themselves, intruders carrying life, the young women carrying life, unaided in their arms, in the streets, weakened by too much need of too little, and life seeming to depend on women, burdened and desperate as they are, or defined. Man beyond rescue of the impoverished soul, whole cities before we can face again forests and prairies. Though the world is the obvious, the seen, and unforeseeable, that which one cannot not see, which the first eyes saw for us, also each man or woman near is knowledge, though it may be of the noon's own vacuity. And the mad, too, speak only of conspiracy and people talking. And if those paths that enter the mind cannot break, it is not the wild glare of the world even that we die in. Approach the window as if to see the boredom which disclosed everything. I should have written not the rain of a 19th century day, but the motes in the air, the dust here still. What have we argued about? What have we done? Thickening the air? Air so thick with myth, the words lucky and unlucky float in it? To see them? No. Or sees motes and iron mesh links of consequence still at the mind's end relevant, occurring neither for self nor for truth, the sad marvels, in the least credible circumstance, storm or bombardment, or the room of a very old man. Whitman, April 19th. 1864, the capital grows upon one in time, especially as they have got the great figure on top of it now, and you can see it very well. It is a great bronze figure, the genius of liberty, I suppose. It looks wonderful toward sundown. I love to go and look at it. The sun, when it is nearly down, shines on the headpiece, and it dazzles and glistens like a big star. It looks quite curious.
I'd like to thank Mr. Oppen for a brilliant reading under something less than perfect circumstances. And I'd like to remind you that Mr. Oppen will be reading next Wednesday night November 5th at the Unitarian Church on Franklin Street. Also, next Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 4, there will be the first of a series of open student readings which we'll be sponsoring in Ecumenical House. That's next Wednesday, November 5th at 2 o'clock in Ecumenical House. Thanks very much. Oh, where's the hat? Oh, fine, okay. Yeah, remember there's a coffee hour now up at Ecumenical House.